Buonasera, buonasera e benvenuti. Ciao ragazzi e benvenuti to a new episode of Fratelli di Rugby Podcast.
Oh, the voice. The voice is out, Otto. The gravelly voice.
Podcast. Yeah, this is a special ASMR for our fetish friends.
people paying for two bearded men. Oh, God.
Yeah.
We wouldn't get much, mate. We wouldn't get much. Couple of coppers, I'm guessing.
Yeah, or maybe some Manscaped, some good advisors. No, like come on, guys.
They want to sponsor us. Depending. Little sponsor, yeah, mate. Right. It'd be good.
Absolutely.
Manscaped, we'll take it.
Phantom, yes. We are live streaming on Fratelli di Rugby channel on YouTube. So if you're new on this channel, please subscribe, sottoscrivi, iscriviti, fai tutto quello che c'è bisogno di fare. The Phantom, welcome Phantom. And yes.
Good to see you, Phantom.
Beniamino. Okay.
Hey, Beniamino.
Right. Guys, they're speaking about Ferrovie dello Stato. I have to speak to fill the empty space that Marcello leave us today, because Marcello is sick. So I hope you're gonna feel better soon and get better soon, March, because we already missed you.
Yeah, we need a little scrum off, don't we?
Yes, always. From scrum good to tempo. Scrum.
That's it. So, speaking
today's
of
pick what? And go, Mike.
Is it pick and go?
Pick and go episode.
Not even running off nine. We're literally all in our own hands. And speaking of all in our own hands, shall we start off with Benetton?
Let's start with
say best or last.
Yes.
Okay. So, Otto, shoot. Oof. Thoughts on the game? Like good, bad, ugly.
So, good, bad, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay, let's find the three in the Sergio Leone movie in this game.
I think the ugly good, straight away. I was gonna say the ugly straight away. Shall we get that one out the way?
Go. Which one was the ugliest there?
For me, the yellow, which like that was pretty ugly yellow. I think
that very lucky for me
man.
Was the bad.
Oh, was that the bad? Okay, all right.
The bad call. And the bad accident and the bad tackle, bad technique, bad everything.
It was bad everything to me.
Yeah. That was the bad, because literally, how can you not give something different there in that situation? Yeah. Because there's no technique at the end. The more you go slow, the more it sounds different. But I don't know if you see the yellow card they give to Ima. Exeter Gloucester.
No.
Man, that is literally a joke. And usually I don't say those kind of stuff, but that was, and I'm a Gloucester fan, but man, I don't know why they give the yellow to him in that case, because I don't know how can you go yellow. But anyway, Robbie, welcome. Nicolas, welcome back. Phantom here, Beniamino here. Man, that was bad for me. But bad, ugly, we are really close. It's really close.
Yeah, ugly, bad. So, good for you then, good.
The good for me now? Mm. You want the good for me? The good. Man, it's hard, the good in this game, because it's bitter kind of game. So let me think, what can be the really good improve? I don't know, it's hard, you know?
I've got an idea for good, I think.
I can go on a general idea, like not always the opportunity to be close in the game. Probably that is for me the thing that helps, you know? Yeah. If I have to think that. The other good can be that Brex is back, let's say, because it means you can see some kind of flow when he get the ball on. So I'm going to put that there, like the two good things we saw about Benetton this week.
Yeah, mine was the same. I think the fact that they had the opportunity to win the game, you know, like, yes, they were chasing the game and yes, there were mistakes, but creating the opportunity. If you guys have followed us for the past few weeks, we've said Benetton needs to score more, Zebre needs to concede less. That's rugby in a nutshell, but I mean...
No, but we have to find the balance between doing so well something, so bad something else.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, from that Benetton game, they created opportunities. Whatever hangover there has been from Mazi leaving, Troncon starting to gain a bit of speed. I know there's a couple of people who are a little bit, I suppose, questioning him. But it's early days, and there's always going to be a transition period. And this week was the proof that what he's doing is working. So I suppose that's a good. And then I suppose the ugly then, if we're putting the yellow card on the bad, the ugly is, I suppose, all the sort of mistakes, right?
That Zanon short, like that for me is the it's ugly because it's come on. Or maybe when they were sleeping in the moment, they played the third try from Glasgow. The quick line out after a mistake on the multi-phase. Those are the ugly things that you say, come on. But it sucks because they were so close in and they were producing that, yeah. The kick. Then we have to go in details. We can go and we can see what wasn't working.
That one burnt, for sure. Like, that one burnt a lot because, first of all, the missed pass was unnecessary, right? But for me, right, Benetton have got all of, like, the attacking foundations, clearly what, like, they want to do. They've got it sort of relatively down. I know, obviously, it's easier to attack when there's less people on the pitch. For me, it's just the decision-making is maybe a little bit naive. So, for example, if there's an overlap, unless it's a really clear overlap and, like, positionally... defenders are, there's a complete mismatch, they're too tight, you don't cross field kick, right? Like, you put it into hands, and so there was a couple of occasions where we're trying to force it wide very quickly, and actually if we just give Paolo or Marcus Watson on the wings, you know, a yard of space and we fix the last defender, they're gonna score. That a little bit, you know.
Yeah, that can be something that, like, for example, today, against Glasgow was a bad game in general because you came home in that way against Franco Smith. Like, Beniamino was writing in the chat, yes, like, the good was Franco Smith. And actually, yes, the players were good. But the amount of entries in the 22 by Benetton, we have to go and check. Is it like Phantom is talking about Troncon, for example? Is it, the questions are there on the attacking coach, but is it a fault by Troncon if the ball goes so deep, too deep in a cross kick field? Maybe. Yes, if you follow the rules the idea of attack, not that you want to shoot. But in other cases, like, come on, Zanon there is not the fault of Troncon, because that you have to manage better that ball. That's sad, because you create the opportunity that almost I take on Watson on the wing, like jumping to score. That too was another good opportunity. So there are options, good, but maybe the decision making is key, and sometimes the luck was there in the last pass for the amount of work you do.
Yeah. For me, I think there's definitely an element where, I don't know who was calling plays, but when Didi came on, it was far more tactical. His kicking, like, is beautiful as a scrum half, like his box kicking sensational.
Oh, like, that 50-22, just because it was inside the field, but that was perfect. That from the center. Nice.
Even the one where they get, I think it's their second try, where he's just come on. So Garbisi's just come off. I think Garbisi got a knock and he was down for a while, and then he was sort of going a bit gingerly. Umaga's just come on. He's playing nine. He does a kick into sort of the 22. It gets to about sort of 10 yards out. And the kick chase was disjointed. So then I think it's the 15 steps
that came up.
And yeah, and then he runs and obviously he passes to the inside center, and I think they actually end up scoring because of that attack. But that kick was perfect. Like, it was beautiful. The only issue there was obviously there was a bit of a disconnect. Don't know whether case. Yeah, it was just a bit disjointed. There was a bit of dogleg and they took advantage. But that's something that if Benetton had from the start, where they were making sort of some rash decisions trying to force it out wide, I think that's where, you know, there's a bit of naivety, a bit of inexperience in certain situations, which they need to develop better. And I think this weekend, I should say, has been quite a decent learning for them. It's been a good opportunity for them to sort of say, okay, in this situation, this is what you should have done. And hopefully it's a bit of a kick up the arse, because yes, they were undefeated, but Benetton need to do more if they want to, you know, qualify for the playoffs.
Yeah, when we speak about the ladder of the URC now, Benetton actually has 14 points in eighth position, with the Stormer just behind 2 points, 1 point less than Vodacom Bulls and Munster at 17, sixth. But think about maybe having a couple of points more, give you also less pressure from the team that came from the ninth position and down. In this case, you know, Zebre Parma at 11 with one victory, just 3 points less than Benetton. So how important is to score tries too? Because defense, yes, but sometimes the attack is better than defense. And in this case, they were better. So that's why I don't think it was much like a lack of attitude, but like little mistakes, like the second try with the player going almost under the arm of Trulla, looks like, you know, on that missing tackle. But it's something that they can grow. And there were a lot of changes in the team. So let's see for the next week how it's going to be. But Edinburgh is going to be another interesting learning game. And if they have the right mind and they find a little bit more of sharpness in attack, also think about these kind of attack shapes they have now, they still can score. They have to be a little bit on more.
Yeah. It's not doom and gloom for sure. I think, you know, it's a good opportunity to show some pictures that some players may not have seen and may not have been in. And yeah, like I said, I think, you know, maybe the fact that we were undefeated, as Benetton were undefeated going into this game, played on everyone's mind a little bit. And, you know, like, they thought if they were going to win, they wanted to win pretty. And sometimes you just need to learn to win ugly, right? And multi-phase, like, when the cavalry came off the bench, the scrum was getting demolished. They were absolutely demolishing Glasgow at the start, right? So play like that, like, learn to adapt. You don't have to force it out wide. It's not the only way to win, you know. So for me, just, you know, grind out set piece if it's working well. And that's something where maybe, you know, like I said, a bit of naivety where they're trying to force it, play off nine a little bit, wear them out. You know, they're a big team, Glasgow. Little things like that, just you know, little inexperiences. But like you said, plenty to improve on, plenty of improvement already from, you know, like, the amount of opportunities that have been created. And now hopefully they just need to sort of marry up.
Yeah, to hit the nail in the right moment and not hit the finger. So Christopher here in the chat is asking, do you know if Zuliani is injured or has just been resting? My opinion, him and Izakor have the potential to displace Mike, Lamaro and Negri by the next Six Nation. Your thoughts?
Let me discuss this quickly. Yeah, this one's interesting, right? So Lamaro is a leader, and I think generally Italians have struggled with leadership, particularly since, you know, players like Giraldini and Parisi have moved on. We've really struggled to sort of try and understand how to win in games where it may not necessarily have been going our way. So Lamaro in that way has made himself sort of indispensable. Zuliani is an out and out seven though. We can't keep playing him on the blind side. He does a great job at blind side. He's a great back rower, so he can play across the board, but he is an out and out natural seven. So I think the question is, when do we deploy Zuliani? Do we deploy him against tired legs because he's developed his running game? He's a big crash ball player now as well. So is that the best time to get something out of him? Or do we start him and then, you know, try and sort of develop the leadership pack? Because I know Quesada isn't too wedded to Lamaro being captain. So that means if he's not too wedded to that, who is going to step up and take the leadership, right? So there's that side. And then Seb just does stuff that we don't have players that can do. So in terms of how he runs through, he will run at a wall 100 times to make a meter. And more often than not, he breaks the first tackle and he makes a few yards. But he just puts his body on the line all the time. And he's resilient in that matter. Like he rarely gets injured long term. So there's that. But in terms of the talent, Zuliani and Isaac are fantastic. They're fantastic prospects. Isaac in particular, just because we don't have a back rower that can do what he does. Maybe Cannon is the closest mold, but in terms of speed, almost like a Jake Pelledri of old, you know, where Jake was training with the backs because he was too quick to train with the forwards. Sam Simmons training with the backs, like
those guys.
Yeah, Makalu. Those sort of guys. I mean, what's yours?
Man, here I'm reading a couple of messages because, of course, there is the other side of Italy, right? On one side, we speak about Benetton, but Lupo just remind us some of the players, men of the match, Ferrari, for example, this week. And I want to add to this the new number six of Arlequins, Mike. Have you seen that guy, that Dino Lamb scoring three tries in the last three games?
He looks like he genuinely looks a better player, doesn't he?
Man, seems like a lot of freedom because he doesn't have to do that kind of work, but he's always busy even when he's now in the wider channels. A tough guy, always ready to work with those big ends.
He's just one of those players where, you know, Italy don't get enough credit sometimes for developing players. Like, they get a lot of stick sometimes for, you know, taking an Argentinian born player who chooses, you know, to take the Italian path, and they get a lot of stick by that, but they never get much, you know, credit where credit's due. Maybe, you know, getting the best out of players like Tommy Allen's another one. He was playing under 20s with Scotland and actually probably wouldn't have gotten as much game time as he had because obviously Finn and stuff, but he's developed into a fantastic player. Dino's one of those players where in that short stint that he's been with Italy, you can see that he's enjoying his rugby a lot more. Like, maybe there's a slight different mindset where Italy are attack, attack, attack. So they're like, okay, go to six, right? Do your thing. Try and, you know, run through walls. But yeah, he's definitely getting a little bit more. And to your point, Lupo, just because you brought up Bianchi, Andriani, Ferrari, Licata. There's so many. Ross Vincent. We are blessed with back rowers. We are genuinely blessed.
Those are good.
So good. Yeah. I mean, if you had to pick three from the start of the season to now, and I know it's a hard question, Octavio, because take out of the count, you know.
Like a fresh new back row without the classic three that we saw.
Yeah, take out of account like the players who currently play.
Okay, like an Italy A back row, like some.
Exactly.
Yes, like like Josh is saying, really need Italy A playing during international. Okay, three of them. Tizzano at six, eight, Vincent, and seven, you put Zuliani. You put those three to start, and from the bench, you came on with Licata and Ferrari.
Andreani as well as a
Andriani is the other six. Yes, I want to see like a trial game, man. That is something I would really like to see. Like on the side, the Benetton against the Zebre, but also mix like youngest against youngest playing each other against.
Like great shout with him.
That's something I really like to see, but also picking maybe players from the Serie A elite, but all the young, and see a game like Italia White against Italia Azzurra, something like that, something funny.
Yeah.
Odiase that is not there, Izek or Tizano. I saw him on a couple of pitcher again with Western Force. They. A good team this year. See, Carlo Tiziano and everything. But anyway, I think they had like a problem to the ankle and has to rest Zuliani. But seems like next game they're going to come back fresh new. The player that rests, like Nicotera, Lorenzo Cannone, Sneeman, Juran. So maybe Fekitoa is going to be in the field next game. So against Edinburgh, the team is going to be really strong again. So maybe Marin is going to come back. So that is another interesting call for Owen Farrell, Marin, number 12, future number 12.
before he got injured, he was putting on some mass. Like I think I saw an interview where they said he put on like 8 kilos, right? Like he wasn't looking... He wasn't looking too shabby if he wants to play 12.
Man, the game that he had before the injury against Wales, playing at 12 when we won, that was massive.
With a flu,
crazy tackling, everything, 100% consistency. 16 out of 16. Kind of like a Choco Bares style of defense game. He tackled everything.
Yeah, he could be a very very good. And also like. We also have to take into account what Crowley thinks, and Crowley obviously really highly regards him as a player. So
that's true too. Hope he's gonna come back. For the
fingers
next.
Crossed.
Yeah, and I hope. Look, the whatever is gonna be the result at the end of the next game, I want Benetton to score a lot of tries, loads of tries, because they can do it. And if this click. If they can create quick ball with Uren there in some hard situation, I think it's going to be really a game that can open so easily against Edinburgh.
It just feels like the dam is there, right? If they break, like you said, if they break the dam, then finally they'll start just sort of getting some confidence and playing some high percentage rugby.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No. Why?
I was going to say, there's one player that I wonder if you know where he is or what he's doing. Sam Hidalgo-Klein, what's going on? Do you know?
Man, Sam Hidalgo-Klein is in the list. He is fit. I saw him in some picture, but yes, he's one of the few mysteries of the link of players from Pavanello.
Yeah.
Because he's one like internationally. He's always been like... traveling around. Every time he changed a lot, and then he arrived. Okay, I was thinking maybe he was going to play more.
Yeah,
I think maybe he also got a decent contract. Maybe not. I don't know. But that is weird, right? Because you want to see more of a player that has an international career, moved around. But hey. At least we have an Italian nine playing, which is Gerbisi, no? We don't have so many nines playing around.
No, you're right. And I think as well, you know, we're talking about game management just earlier on for the guys who joined a little bit later. It just feels like if Sam Hidalgo-Klein's there because they're transitioning Didi into coaching. That it just seems like last week against a Scottish opponent would have been a perfect time to deploy him. Maybe we're going to see him this week against Edinburgh.
Like Juran Hidalgo-Klein. But Hidalgo was in... they're not going to stay there. They're going to come back to... Because last week he was in Italy while they were playing. So he didn't travel neither like a 24 in the list.
But, I think... I think Benetton are really trying to refresh the team, aren't they?
Yeah, some players, some decision are in that direction, like to move on and see what can happen.
So,
oh yeah, here a big list of 12 Josh put on, because this is the actually, our 12. Think about Marin maybe going to 12 now. It's our ideas. Maybe somebody wants it at 10. Somebody wants to see him behind that. I can add to this list maybe Montemauri too. Because I don't know why Montemari, I think he can play 12. I have this idea in my mind.
Maybe played 12 against Leicester, didn't he?
Sometimes very we good saw against it Leicester. At, in that position, even when he came in last 2 weeks ago, it was kind of a 12-ish. More Passerelle may, of course, 12, 13. But hey, players are there. Looks deep, but we have to see how strong they're going to be to reach the international standard, because that's the point. We see potential. This is a list of, like you say, potential to becoming competitive. Yeah. We have to see which standard they can get. But
the cream rises to the top, Otto.
Yeah, absolutely. And
just before we move on quickly, I've got a question for you.
Yo, go ahead.
Unsung hero.
Unsung hero of the game. Wow. Wow.
Unsung. You have to pick one. You have to.
Man, Odogwu. Odogwu. Yeah, because he didn't have a lot of opportunity to shine at the end. So he did his job. I think today I'm going to give it to Odogwu, the unsung hero award.
He worked hard. He worked hard. And also, I think Watson worked really hard. They were coming off there. They're just busy. I like busy players. I like players that look for the ball and stuff. So good on them.
This is a busy player. Yes, I agree with you, Nicolas. The 12 of Petrarca. Love him. Yes, he's a hardcore 12, Brogin. Ooh, this is great, Lucio. This is a good one.
Yes,
avvantaggio. They were saying in the URC, the URC commentator.
Yeah. And then they're trying to work out what placaggio means for like 5 minutes.
Placaggio.
That's it. Yeah, Lupo, I agree. We said this, you know, at the start on the Discord that Brogan was going to get picked up by Zibrin, and anyway, he didn't. But still, time, isn't there?
Yeah, let's see what's going to happen. I'm going to watch next, maybe this week, last Petrarca's game, because there is also the Rodrigo Fernandez, the number 10 of Chile, now playing in Petrarca. So people from the other side of the Alps, if you cannot watch the game, go look for the game of Italy Serie A Elite. Maybe you're going to see something cool in it.
Nice plug. Otto.
Let's go on the other side. Side of the Po. Let's go in Parma. What happened in Parma? This strange game, a game that how can we call if this game was a movie, like we say, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. I think we have to start with that as well. Again, on this, maybe we just do that as a thing moving forward.
Okay, so the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah,
pick one.
I don't want to cop out and pick the good, but I will pick the good. It's not going to be the obvious good though.
Okay.
So the good and the unsung hero for me, and obviously we'll get the unsung hero for you, I think, is Zambonin. Obviously, for those of you guys who weren't with us during the
running
live,
giraffe.
Yeah. that wasn't with us during the live that we did. Ottavio and I obviously watched the game, and the breaker side where he does, he got his big old legs out of the tackle and he looked like a baby giraffe. He was quality. I think there's a lot for him to improve, but he just looks better and better every game that we watch him. And it's almost again an embarrassment of riches for us at lock, but he has an attribute that we don't have. He's over 2 meters tall. I think it's what, 203, 204. And he's starting to use it, which is good. He's starting to develop. He's getting a bit of mass on him, and yeah, he's just one to look out for. I think, like, if he continues the way he's playing, there's no reason why he can't break into the national team on the bench or more. You know,
he's really good in the lineout. Absolutely, all the lineout game of the Locks is pretty good in that, and we want to see more of those kind of runs, more power in when he eats and when he tackle, when he runs and when he defend off the ball. If he can bring that with that agility that you can see, no, like the how changing, moving around, he can be much more a weapon for Italy in general, because probably if he can work on those details in his game, he can be the Italian level that we want to see in this moment. Because
it's just raw, isn't he, at the moment? He has everything there, you know.
Mm-hmm. So that it's interesting for a player like him, because we need more like fridges on wheels. We need big eaters, big people in the middle, because we say so many times, like, we suffer physicality. So the big men we have, they have to be stronger and ready to step up again and eat again, like the best. Those kind of players, you see them eating guard, tackling, standing up, doing crazy stuff with the hands in ball in hands. So you want that. So
yeah. So
bad Zambonin, or the ugly good.
Otto.
Okay, I'm going with the bad.
Okay.
With the bad. With the bad man, the try from Mason Greene. That's bad. That's bad, more than ugly.
Yeah, that's
bad, because you. I think the kick from Garcia was a good idea. Let's put pressure there. Let's push them. Maybe they're gonna kick again, so we're gonna have a line out in their opposite time of field. But of course, they attack. They found that space. They found the second tender space on Trulla.
Yeah.
When they rip the ball from Trulla's hands, and from there they move the ball two passes, Greene scored the try. Come on. That was bad, because it was something that we saw many times in Zebre's games last year, like this bonkers moment.
Yeah, also that ties into my ugly as well. I think my ugly actually goes for both teams. This is both Zebre and Benetton. We need to work on scramble defense. Like, on both teams, like, when there's a turnover and there's a counter attack, like, we struggle. If we're set, we defend very well. Like, if we can get slow ball and set, we
absolutely
defend well.
But when it's like that, because I'm sure you were going, like, the try that scored by Morisi, like, was bad from the Cardiff point of view. I'm going on the good. Didn't say before, but how they were able to put pressure with that try, for example, just moving the ball, the run from Zambonin, the hit from Franco Smith, that maybe is going to be my unsung hero, then the ball that goes out, kick, pressure there, try. That's great. That's great rugby by Zebre, but you have, like, the contrapasso. You did it, and they scored against you in the same kind of way. So that sucks.
One step forward, one step back.
So the good and the bad is there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I don't disagree with any of that. It's perfect. And also, Franco Smith being unsung hero is probably quite fair. I think that's fair, because he wasn't meant to play, was he?
Man, Lucchino was in the... Yeah, they changed it at the beginning. He had some problem. Actually, he didn't fly to South Africa, because there is the list. We can see who's home, but...
Yeah.
Lucchini is not flying to South Africa. There are only two centers in the list for the next two games, against Lions and Stormers.
Yeah.
For Zebre.
So, guys who are in the chat, who would you pick as your unsung hero? Like, it doesn't have to be the people that we've said, but just name who and why whilst we're we continue.
And the ugly, Mike.
And the what, ugly. And man, the ugly.
What was ugly? What was ugly in this game? If I have to go to one action, one skill, maybe that ball ripped from Trulla, or yeah, the ball, the attack from Ruggeri, 5 meters out from set piece from line out.
And that, yeah.
If you can score there, you change the game.
Yeah, so I've seen teams play that a few times. Peaky Blinders.
Innocenti Blinders.
That's it. He loves 100%. It. But the idea is good because obviously he's a solid runner and the peel was there. But you want to have a defender either side. So either they look like the option. So like the defender's not planting. An attacker either side. So either the defender's not planting, or if you do go, you could have a quick clear out and try and get to the floor. But he got turned. Like I think you said it. You said it live on the watch along, where he just gets smashed. Yeah. The second time was a lot better.
Asa from Robert Smithson.
You're right, Bobby. Momo's
doing so well. Again, number three.
Yeah. Like Zebra trying to find. I think they're still trying to find like who's the best. They've got an idea, but who's the best combination front row? I think.
They said about the props. Like there is some quite interesting news on that side, because there is Pitinari, of course, but he's back. Matteo Nocera, and I'm so happy for him because he was one of my favorites last year. Matteo Nocera. A lot of penalties, yes, but the style of how he tackles was majestic, because he's a huge guy. So
yeah, he's got stopping really power, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm really happy to see Nocera on the right. So Asa and Pitinari can also play on the left side of the scrum in their original position, actually. They can go back.
Yeah. He's just got stopping power. He's a fantastic player. Ooh, here we go.
Yeah, Robert. Fischio Biginocera will be good when it happens. Maybe it's not going to be maybe the first. It's going to be the second game. Let's read the list of players, because it's been released. They're going to be in South Africa. So we have at prop Fischetti, Asa, Pitinari, Nocera and Rizzoli. Good. As we said, there are like Rizzoli and Fischetti on the left and three on the right side. So we are there. Hookers, the three. BG, Manfredi, Ribaldi. Nothing new. Second, locks. Matteo Canali, former Petrarca, with a pink cap. Love that pink cap.
Right.
Yeah. Matteo Canali, Krumov, and Zamboni. So the fridge, Mr. Sisi, home in Parma, resting for the next two games, because I'm sure we're going to see him for the Benetton's game. Well, after this South Africa's game, there is going to be the Benetton's game. So,
yeah. Sisi looks a good nick. I know I said it live, but he's clearly taking this season and like the World Cup, he took it really seriously. So good to see him playing well as well.
So back rowers, we have Taina Fox Matamua, and Bautista Stabile is back. That if we see Italians, but not Italians, because Taina, he cannot be capped, of course, for Italy. But then we have Bianchi, Ferraria, Licati, and Guidone Volpi. So that is, of course, is interesting, because you have a lot of players that you want to see playing there. So we're going to see more of Matamua. There's going to be space for all of them, because there are six. So three and three, some way, we're going to have a lot of time to play.
Yeah. I think, like, Zebra trying to do the same thing Benetton are, which, you know, they're trying to rotate the team and make sure that they're managing the team better so there's no injuries. And I think they're both looking at the like you said, the derbies, like they both got one eye sort of ahead of that. So yeah,
that's good why. Yeah, that's why they bring also Thomas Dominguez, which is like not a Joker medical, but like kind, I don't know, like in a seasonal for 3-4 months is gonna cover there. Alessandro Fusco and Gonzalo Garcia, but then Giovanni Montemauri and Prisciantelli. So it's Monte time. It's Montemauri time.
We're excited. We've been on this podcast been saying for a while about Montemauri and how excited we are to see him play. I'm he's going to get game time. He has to with only the two of
absolutely
them,
so. Yeah, because when we were saying about the centers, they have only Morisi and Franco Smith Jr. was supposed to until the 30th of November. Yes, Silver, the 3 months contract for Dominguez, which is Diego Dominguez's son.
He's a scrum half, you're saying, right?
Yeah, scrum half, 10, a little bit of everything. Let's say he can play more. Then somebody's going to tell me more. He doesn't have the same skill on from the boot, let's say. But Morisi, Franco Smith, center. So maybe Montemari can be a 12 in some. For 10 minutes, I can see him there. I can see Gregory playing at in the centers too, depending how they are going to be after the first game. If they're going to be too sore on something to recover for a week after. All there is the fact if Morisi and Smith are able after 80 minutes, they're going to play both. And if you're lucky, you're going to go back against Benetton, maybe with Lukin and Paya back. So you're going to have another couple of centers there, something different. But Gregory can play center. So I'm sure, because then they have Jesse, Pani and Trulla. So this is the team. And who can cover the center if something happened to the centers are Gregory and Montemauri.
I think Zibre would benefit from a dual playmaker just in midfield. Like, so if you're saying Montemauri at 12, like he'd be a good one. Right, just because he can pick him, right?
And look at this call. Yes, I was thinking that before too. Stabile can be the Quagga-Smith style, you know, the center. He can play a center. Or Fusco can play center, but yes, as the build for it. Looks like, how can I say, like a storm wants to be Stabile when he came in the field. Maybe it's that hairstyle, Valderrama style hair that seems like he's always moving around. Krumov, Dispiezzo in due. Actually, Krumov, origin from Bulgaria, Mike.
Is he?
Yep.
Good on him. Good on him that he's trying for Italy as well.
Have you heard about this, Mike? Have you heard anything about Franco Smith Jr. declaring for Italy?
I think he wants to. I mean, I can't speak for him, but the only other options he has is Wales and South Africa, right? So the only team out of those two I think would come in and swoop to get him would probably be Wales at this stage. Not to say that South Africa probably aren't keeping an eye on him as well. But I think he's probably open to a call up for Italy for sure. I don't see why he wouldn't, you know?
Yes, but I was trying to find in his Instagram if he still has that crazy meal that he prepared. So let's see, Franco Smith Jr.
Whilst you're getting this off, are you going to put it on the screen just to terrorize everyone?
No, he doesn't have it anymore. I remember he cooked that weird pasta that somebody can be really upset about it.
He changed his mind. He probably got death threats.
Man, so. we spoke about pineapple pizza and pizza with tortellini 2 days ago. Mike, come on, we cannot say anything to him.
Hey, I'm about it. If you guys wanna, you know, make some sort of,
if you make some weird pizza, just send us the picture. We're gonna post it on Instagram.
Yes, pizza.
Fratelli di Rugby. Send us your pizzas. We're gonna rate your pizzas.
Yes, we'll make a little segment.
Yeah,
it can't be worse than my grape.
Paolo, Paolo, good evening to you. Yes, look, we prepared this, but you have to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, where we post our stories about this. So, Paolo, follow us on... Look, this is a perfect hook by Paolo. I pay him to give us this hook. And Paolo, we're going to wait for you. Looking forward to see you next Monday on YouTube, on next podcast, recording podcast on next Monday. Every Monday at 7 p.m. Italy time, 8 p.m. Bulgaria, 6 p.m. UK. Prior to the season, we said we are looking at home games, Challenge Cup and derbies this season. So, Joshua, I think you're going to be really happy with what you see from Zibber for now. Pretty satisfied with this. And then let's see. The only problem with Franco Smith is the only thing, he lived in Italy for 10 years, which he has done, but probably hasn't been tracked at the time. Ooh, that's true, because there is all this question about... But
Franco Smith played for how many seasons for Benetton, though? And then obviously he coached for like another two or three seasons, right?
Yeah, but you have to see like how many like months you spend out of the country in that amount of time.
Oh, is that part of it as well? Okay, fine.
I think it's for that reason too. So let's see. So next game against Lions, it's crazy to say, Mike, but they are not on. They're not topping the Zebre at the moment. Actually, Emirates Lions with 9 points, Zebre Parma with 11 points. They won one game like Zebre, and they lost 4 games. So,
different beast at home, though, aren't they?
Yeah, what they were saying, no, today. So it's going to be different there, but it's a team, in my opinion, Lions, that he played from the first to the last minute of the game in the same way, trying to do their job, their kind of attack, their style of defense. They apply that going on and on. They can commit mistake bad. They can go with the flow and play well, good for them. So but they're always following the instruction, I think. It's that kind of team for me.
Yeah. Which that's sort of like the fact
you can score 30 points to them, they're gonna keep playing in the same way, no changing. They score 30, they're gonna keep playing in the same way. That's for me the Lions,
yeah. Well, that's sort of like the South African way, isn't it? Like you stick to the process, and if it's up to the coach to make tweaks with like the people that he brings in if he needs to, but. Just I know we were talking about the 6-2 split. Why not 7-1? Let's let full score cover like multiple everything. Positions. There you go. Let's South Africa, South Africa.
Like that. With the number 7 is gonna be, of course, you're gonna have their Stavile and then
easy. let's make it happen. We'll message in. We got an idea.
So let's put Dominguez at 11 too, like double 9 in the field, triple 9 perfect. In the field.
Perfect.
Put 3 9s. Yeah, right. Put 3 9s. Yeah, 3 9s, 2 10, and you're good. And Stavile like at 13. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm excited for Zibre. I've been saying it for a while. I said it start of the season. Said it in preseason. Now more excited because I think they're starting to understand more about themselves as a team. I think they've gone a long time without a set identity. And I think sort of the leadership is at a nice balance with Sisi, Legata, like Lucien when he's on. Who else is there in terms of a set? BG's playing some of his best rugby. It just seems like last year was a bit of a transition year, and this year they're starting to find who they are and how they play and understand the connections between the players and the balance between the back row and all of these things, which, you know, it's taken time for. They just look better. Phantom, Sisi's resting, I think.
Yeah, Sisi is in Parma, I think.
Yeah.
Enjoying the family, training in the morning, free in the afternoon, and so on. Big statement from Simone. That surprised me too, because I was thinking he he was going to actually, yeah. So Androni out it was a surprise for me because I'm a big fan of him. But Stavilate something different, but like I don't know now if Androni is gonna have more game time like against Benetton. That's the point, you know, in the management of a player. If you think like he's not gonna play these two games, you didn't see him a lot. Maybe we are missing somebody. On the other side, I have to say why you have to change if you're following a path and the things are going the right way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why taking off Prisciantelli if Prisciantelli is going you something? You have to add something to him.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And also, you don't like when a player's slowly getting confident, like, you don't want to axe them and you know, like put them back a couple of steps. You want to build them, like you said, Otto. It's not about that. But then also on the other side, Androni has a big part to play for Zibre, and it's going to be interesting to see sort of when we see him. I'm sure that there's probably some other stuff, you know, like maybe he's not been 100% or
yeah, that's or whatever. True. We don't know.
Yeah, we just don't know. But I think,
and of course, Stabile is not like broken like Simone was, wrote, because he's able to play against Lions. But in general, yes, I got what you were saying, Simone. It's about like not being 100% after coming back from injury, because you had that injury, he had that injury on his left hand, I think, something like that, when right. He came in. So we didn't see him a lot. Well, let's see what's going to happen next game. A couple of our games, both away. So Italians abroad, let's say, flying around for the next week, 2 weeks like that, and then Italian derbies. But I hope they're going to come back with points. Both teams, of course. Benetton can win. For me, if they go with a big, big team, Fegitoa, Uren, the mindset is there. And that click, Benetton can really surprise again somebody. It's hard, I know, but you can be confident if they find the right space and work on details this week. Zebre hardest,
yeah,
but they can do it. Yeah. 2 points. 2 points can be good anyway, I think.
Like you said at the start, but, like...
Come on, Lions.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say, like you said at the start, though, like Benetton being, did you say 3 points ahead of Zibre with, you know, two games more one is insane. Is it like it's so? Insane. Zibre just need to. Well, it is Zibre just need to keep following their process, right? I said it last week or the week before last. I can't remember that. Zibre are like Quins of 2020, 2021, where they're just like, okay, you're going to score 20 points. You're going to score 20 points, we'll score 21. That's the mentality. Okay, so, but now, like, obviously they're working on the defense and it's more structured, particularly the past two. But that's always like the devil may care. Like, they think they can score from anywhere, which makes them dangerous. And then if you layer in the defense, they're looking more and more like competitive. I'm actually really excited for the derbies. I think this is going to be the closest it's been probably since 2018. I think it's going to be very close. Oh, wait, actually, wait. We won one and lost one. Was it 2 years ago?
So the last two times, like the two wins in a row for Zebre was in the derbies 2 years ago. I think to 2020 or 21st. I think Josh knows better than me.
Yeah, Luca has it written down on like...
I don't remember now if I'm right, 2020 or 2021.
Luca has it like written down on like every single like thing that he's got. He's like...
He got it tattooed on his chest. Is that all the good result?
Yeah, you know he does. You know
problem he does. Simone... Half of the national team doesn't speak Italian because the referee was speaking Italian, yes. And the team wasn't bad, a bad team. Oh, during COVID, the derbies won by Zibre. The Benetton team last week wasn't bad, but can be even better. That's the point. So I want to see, literally, Fegitoa breaks centers. That I want to see. Fekito 12, Brex 13. I want to see them together. That is something that I want to see. And this game maybe is going to be a good game. With Uren and 9. Let's see how everybody are. But hey, hope for the best for both.
Yeah, always. So, Otto.
Yeah, let's wrap it up because we can speak for so long. You hear like fuori gioco after the team is like, is it Gaelic? Let's see. Guys, follow us, listen the podcast because this is the video. So you can watch us on YouTube on Mondays and between tonight and tomorrow morning on Tuesday. The pod is out and stay tuned because we're going to have new guests on podcasts, live streamings. Just check everywhere. Fratelli di Rugby, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, your home, your ears, your joy.
Yeah, that's right. And just to add to that, I know Lupo's in the chat, but we've got the Discord as well. We've had a couple of people join. We want to sort of build out that community as much as possible. So I'm probably going to put, for those of you guys who are following the Italian Rugby Forum and our Fratelli di Rugby Twitters, I'll probably put out a link for everyone to join there. Feel free to share it. There's also a translation feature. So if your English isn't great, you're able to translate. It's done pretty well. So it's all inclusive. We just want to talk about rugby and during games as well, we have the chat going as well, so we can talk in real time. But guys, listen, thank you so much for listening to us. And Otto, I'll leave it to you, my friend.
Oh, Mike, thank you so much to join me today too. And I would just remember everybody to check Longomatch, my good friend from a long time. Wow, more than 5 years with Longomatch, my favorite software to analyze everything. And who knows, maybe Manscaped want to support us. Hey, we are here.
If you have
a pizzeria, we are here. If you want to sell some clothes for kids, we are here. Legos, we are here.
If you want to force us to drink beer on all right, we'll do it. Oh,
I'm going to try to do it, okay? So, I'm going to do my best. Oh. Mike, have a nice night, evening, and see night, you everyone. Next.
Yeah, one and all.